2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I pray that each one of us can say that. It's so important that the word faith here, it's the word pistis, has a definite article. Because it's talking about the faith, just as it said, the course. What else? It had a bunch of these in this one. The fight, the course, the faith. What does it mean that he has kept the faith? And what does it mean to you? Have you kept the faith? Have you brought every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? Have you remained on the mercy seat no matter what the situation is? Do you reckon and see yourself perfect in God's eyes? You've been perfected by one offering. Do you reckon and see that you own all things? That all things that have ever existed, all things that have happened for your sake? There is nothing in the universe that is higher than your position, the faith. It's not faith to get something. It's the faith which stays in that moment of dependence on the Father no matter what happens. You've seen the vanity of your own mind. You've seen the emptiness of your own efforts, the futility of your own work. The faith. Amen?
Yeah, I was thinking of Paul's, all the stuff he'd been through. With the idea that you could change it, the temptation to change it. People were beating on him, He received 40 stripes.
Three times.
It's like the temptation is to change the faith to make it a little bit different so you don't get beaten up, and all that. That's what came to my mind.
Amen.
He was delivering it, he's like, I've kept it, I've guarded it and all that.
Right.
I've delivered it to people without messing it up or bending it.
Remember that every one of the early apostles died alone. They died for the faith. It would have been so easy just to slightly change it that it was its purpose was to X, to have a nice family or any of the infinite number of possibilities of just compromising the faith. That's why I started talking about Sunday a little bit. That I believe that this group, this whoever we are, either as Trinity or as the church, and we have an obligation, it's a prophetic obligation to declare the faith and to expose those that aren't proclaiming the faith and not be afraid of naming names. Paul certainly wasn't. But this is so much more than our little group. We have a course that's set before us by the hand of God that we must complete. The faith, the course, the fight. And all this other crap is just crap. What? Henceforth, verse 8, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing or his epiphany. There is laid up. It's a word that means, it's translated appointed or reserved, and it's the same thing that John is coming back tomorrow, John Bojo, and he has a reservation. So there is a seat laid up for him on that plane. I believe there is also a crown of righteousness laid up for him and for you. But keeping the faith is the whole issue. Now let's look at a couple of the reserved or laid up. Go to Luke 19. Turned right to it, Ronnie.
Teaching it.
You're teaching me good habits. We're going to spend a minute on this. Verse 11. As they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh unto Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. It's in the Greek, it's 10 mina, which means it's equivalent to about $16 or something like that. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and sent unto them, occupy until I come, or use this until I be seen or revealed. But his citizens hated him and went and sent a message after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said unto him, be thou also over 5 cities. And there came another, and another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, laid up, reserved for him. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, that thou takest up that thou laidest not down, and reapest that thou didst sow not. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore thou gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own usury. And he said unto them that stood by, take him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those thine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now, This is the same one where it was the parable of the talents and another. What does this mean? What is it? What do you get out of this? What's this parable mean? And it's interesting, in the other one where it uses the word talents, then everybody interprets that, well, it's the talents that God gave you that you use. What does this mean? Because it's the same. It wasn't talent. The talent was an amount of money. Huh?
So if you have more pounds on them, that's more to...
Yeah, I'm guessing that it has to do with saying what's there.
Anybody?
It has to do with the faith. By keeping the faith, you don't keep it, you're giving away. You spread it, you show it, you express it, or whatever.
Right.
Causes the increase.
You don't take the faith and do what I would want to do, which is go live in a cave, be alone. I've laid it up, and I can be faithful to that. Probably not, but I think I could.
Yeah, the guy thought he was doing pretty much a neutral thing, which was, you know, I'm keeping it where nothing bad's happening, nothing good's happening, I'm just going to give it back, everything's going to be okay. But it was really a negative thing.
Amen.
Not controlling it.
Because, again, as applied to faith, as applied to this laid up, you don't lay up faith. You don't reserve faith. Faith is active. Faith is a verb. It's not a noun. And the whole thing about this has nothing to do with the flesh. It has to do with the faith. And the faith must always be expressed, always be given out, always be revealed. It's never stored. So this use of laid up here is used in a bad sense, where the crown of righteousness laid up for Paul is used in a good sense. Okay? That's what the purpose of studying this was.
Yeah, I was thinking about talking about the faith. It's like even when faith is used as a noun, which it is, when you're talking about the faith, it really wants to be a verb.
Amen. Faith always wants to be a verb. All right, let's go to one other. Hebrews 9. But it's so... For me, it was so it was probably the greatest temptation that I had with regard to how I, my course of life. I didn't want to do this. God, I didn't want to do this. Did any of you know Gene Watts, my secretary back then?
No, I met her.
You met her, I remember.
I think I
did. Yeah, you did too. She kept... From the very beginning, before even the television station failed, and when I was supposedly general manager of the television station, and it was sold out from under us to Pat Robertson, she kept yelling, "You can't have a ministry without a body. You can't have a body without teaching." And I said, "No, I can't do that. I can't do that." And year after year, I didn't do it. I tried to find a body, so I went to a whole bunch of churches because I thought maybe I could lay up the talent, if you will, just being an invisible member. But it didn't work. There was a course that was set before me where I had to give or increase, if you will, that talent that he gave me, that 10 pounds, or that pound that he gave me. Now, whether or not I've been faithful to that, the Lord will judge, but you can't see yourself as just this slight little victim of the universe that happens to have accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. You have to see that the faith is your only vocation. It is your only avocation. It is your only reason for living. Anybody have any response to that? It's much easier just to be silent. I saw a thing on television a few nights ago where there was a comedy duo, and one of them is always silent. His name is Silent Bob or something like that.
Ben and Teller.
No. Mm-hmm. Well, it might be Silent, that, but that's
Silent
a different
Bob's
one.
Silent Bob's a different
what?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Believe it or not, when I first became a believer, I wanted to be the silent one. Because I wanted to bask in the glory that I'd seen. It's just crazy. When I stop and think about my life, I had a pretty good life before I was a believer. I didn't suffer very much. I may have caused a lot of suffering, but I didn't suffer. Went where I wanted to go, did what I wanted to do. Anyway, Hebrews 9. I went off on a rant again. I keep doing that lately.
Just stop it.
That's what I did last night. I think I scared Helga. We had a visitor.
Helga? Yeah.
It's this really neat lady that Helen is living with.
I know that.
We know Helga.
You scared and terrified a 92-year-old
woman? No, she loved it. Oh. No, I was being facetious.
Where are we now?
Hebrews 9. This is an important one. Verse 27. And as it is appointed, this apokimai, which is reserved, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, why? And what does that mean? It was appointed unto men once to die. Let's go back to Genesis 3, 2. It's appointed unto man once to die, then the judgment. That used to confuse me. Until I remembered Genesis 2. Verse 17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, obviously, Adam and Eve didn't die from our standpoint the day that they ate of it, right? Adam lived hundreds of years more, and we don't know how many years Eve lived. So that doesn't make sense. It's, in dying, thou shalt surely die. That is the fruit of the curse. Now, this is the thing that's so hard for us to see. We die the same instant, we died the same instant that Abel died, the first man to die. My father died in 1972, but he died in that same instant. Because all men died on the cross. Because that is the only place on the cross where you can leave time and space. So it's appointed unto men once to die, and all men, past and future, died on the cross. And then the judgment. The judgment comes the instant that God says, the mystery of the bride is completed. Time shall be no more. You remember my little chart? If you don't understand that time, that eternity doesn't mean a long time, it means no time, then this is impossible to understand. It's appointed unto men once to die. He's saying it's appointed unto all men to die at once. And all men died at that instant on the cross that Christ died. Anybody believe me? Anybody understand?
And then the judgment.
Right.
It's all wrapped up right.
Right.
There,
it's boom.
And it's finished.
Right. And it's already happened from our standpoint because we accept our death. Boom. Now, the only thing that's going on is the renewal of our mind that we might agree with that we might confess the Lord Jesus, say the same thing that he's doing, because we hear the same thing. Therefore, we see the same thing. Therefore, we're free. The fear of death has kept you in bondage your whole life. But he led captivity captive. So it's no longer a fear for a believer. Because he knows he already died. Am I anybody understanding? Everybody understand? Ronnie? You understand that you're dead? You understand nothing is going on with you? You have no issues. You have no sickness. You have no suffering. You are being made a partaker of his suffering, that you might reign with him and in him.
Wait, you mean like there's a crown actually laid up for Ronnie?
For Ronnie.
That's quite a deal.
This crown, it's the word Stephanos. And it's not the crown that's talked about that Jesus has, he's got many crowns. It's diadem. Stephanos is the crown that was made with, it was plated, it was made with, I got it right here what it's made with. It's woven with ivy and sometimes parsley, myrtle, oak, olive. And it's woven to be a crown, but it's only a crown for the end result of something. We have finished the course, therefore a crown of righteousness is laid up. It's not the crown of rulership, that's diadem. It's simply the crown of keeping the faith. Amen? Now let's go to Revelation 19. No, let's do it differently. Let's go to Revelation 6 first. No, I'm sorry. We gotta go first to John 14.
I'm starting to not believe you anymore.
You don't have to go flipping through pages. You just go boom on your little machine.
John
14. Verse 19, yet a little while and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, what is that day? It's the day that you understand that you've been in the night, and then for you, the day has dawned. Because you're living in the day, no longer the night as the other people, right? In that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's the three positions. In Greek, it's the location of sphere. That's only true on the mercy seat. And it's only true when you have finished your course, when you have kept the faith. And that can be today. Then you will know that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. Okay? So it's all dependent. It's all about Him and where He is. Now this can only be understood by the understanding of your death. That all, it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Okay? Now let's go to Revelation 6. And remember, everything in Revelation is so neat because the angel keeps telling John, come see, come see. And he's still telling you, come see. And where do you go to see? The only place you go to see is on the mercy seat. If you try to see from the position of time and space, the book of Revelation looks like an idiotic mess. Right? Okay, so you only can understand the book of Revelation by coming and seeing what he sees, what Jesus sees. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, hallelujah, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now that crown is Stephanos. But it's a crown of his own making. It's a crown of his own understanding of faith. And it's a crown that of the course that he had decided. But in his imagination, he already had the crown. He had sweet thoughts. He had to be sitting on a white horse. It's got to be good. He has a bow, but he didn't have any arrows. And then we went through all the other horses here. And that what happens every time you have this great idea where you've got a plan for the future and you start letting out all the horses from the stable. The first one out is always the one that's sitting on a white horse. Anybody understand me? You know, you got this great idea that this is going to fix everything, and this is going to, and you're going to be rich and famous, and blah blah blah. And I promise you, Stephanos may have a bunch of cell phones, but the diadem has no cell phones. All right, now let's look at the real one. So this is the false Christ. This is the Antichrist. This is you. Letting out all these horses.
Yeah, it's the conquering, and to conquer is the, like the overcomer kind of thing too. It's like you're. It's the same word for the, you know, who's the ones he was, Nicolaitans.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's the same idea.
Right. You're going to be successful. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans.
I put my old crown on because I'm believing that I've completed my idea is going to.
Right.
Out the way I want it.
And then, of course, then you have to have a second beast, then a third, and then a fourth. And then the fourth is death. You want that. You have to let all those horses out so they can run their course so that you can see that all is crap. And what you end up seeing is your death, which you want to see. So you got to run the rabbit. You got to let it all out. A little bit. Ronnie's got to see himself in a little house that he owns with a fence around it. And then see, oh crap, that's nothing. But we don't let our minds, we try to ignore these other horses.
When I was growing up, we had a house with a little white picket fence in front of the sidewalk that goes up there. And I ran over and knocked it down when I was learning how to drive. So much for the little white picket fence.
All right, Josiah's going to start yelling at me. We're out of time. But we will spend some more time on the crowns. Anybody have any closing thoughts? Comments, responses, expansions on the tale?
I'll try. When you first start talking about keeping the faith, and you pose the question, I hope you have all kept the faith, whatever. And in my being, I couldn't affirm that. And then I thought back through stuff I've done, shouldn't have done this, shouldn't have done that. Went through this journey of stuff. But I also couldn't say, I want anything to be different than it has been.
Amen.
And that put it in perspective because
Amen.
It took all of everything I've done and been to get to the point of seeing, and that's more precious than any of the trash that's behind
right.
me.
That's the trial of your, right.
Then that means that you're...
If you can say it in an instant.
No, I can say it.
Yeah, that means that everything else has been sanctified.
Right.
And God has wrought all your works into.
And he is my judge, I'm not my judge.
Right. And other lords have had dominion over you. But now, by thee only we make mention of thy name. No more of this crap that we put God's name on. No, they are ghosts. They are dead. They shall not live. Even their very remembrance will be gone. That's what Brother Jeff is. I gave him my study on shame, so I think he's seeing a lot. And you can see that it all leads up to keeping the faith. And everything you've done had a purpose so that you would fit perfectly and knit together in this mystery of the body. You can't condemn yourself anymore. You can't hear your little daddy's voice somewhere or mommy's voice. They're all gone. All right? Take a big guy.